the streets, the hustlers and drug dealers. If you question who we be, just tell them that God with us. We gon' take it down. I like red letters over trap beats, the fix is in. Music blasting for the black sheep, yeah, serious. They like how you build and still breaking all their barriers. Tell them, turn me up. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, this one for the hustlers. This one for the CEOs that used to be the customers. Knew it was gonna be big when winning season seemed impossible. Woo! Coming live on your radio.
What they want?
That real and raw.
How they get it?
DJ Focus.
What we doing?
Making music, reaching the corner. And it's all for the kingdom.
And we gon' make sure they know it.
Woo! Coming live on your radio.
What they want?
That real and raw.
How they get it?
DJ Focus.
What we doing?
Making music, reaching the corner. And it's all for the kingdom.
And we gon' make sure they know it.
We gon' take it there. I like red letters over trap beats to fix it. Saying, ooh, DJ Focus, tell him turn you up. Ooh, DJ Focus, tell him turn you up. Ooh.
Welcome back, welcome back. You tap back into The Fix, your source of faith infused hip-hop, R&B, and poetry. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, Char Love, and it's time for The Unsaid Truth. So come on, Char Love, talk to the people.
You know I'm going to bring that heat. So this is a conversation that needs to be had, okay?
Okay.
So we want to know, the young millennials want to know, are we going to hell because of our appearance? Okay. We know that the church, you know, tries to sugarcoat it. Oh, you know, it's okay how you dress. But we know y'all really want to say, I don't think God is approving of that. So we want to know, like, are we going to go to hell? Because, you know, we might come in with some jeans, baggy jeans, you know, a girl might come in with a nice bodycon outfit, and we're just here to praise the Lord. So are we going to go to hell? I just want to know.
Well, I'm going to say off rip, and I'm going to get out your way, because I can know this is going to be a great conversation. But you said something about a bodysuit or something. The Lord knows you said something about
a bodysuit.
I'm going to just say a very, very happily married man, you shouldn't probably come with a bodysuit. So, like, if you just left the gym or something, you know, maybe, you know, all right, I get it. And if you're going to do that, a sweatshirt or maybe a something to cover that, you know, I ain't got to tell you. If you have a nice figure, let's be very clear. You know you got a nice figure. You can't come in there and tempt a man. And I hate to say it, you got women that struggle in this area too as well. So just be mindful. Sometimes, if you know better. So, again, it's a process. I'm with you. So go ahead. I know you're about to get back to me. Come on. Talk about it.
Okay. First off, if you can't hold yourself, that's not my problem. I'm coming here for the Lord.
Ooh.
Okay? Coming here for the Lord.
Tell him, girl.
Okay.
Can't hold it. I'm coming here for the Lord.
No, hold on. Let me say something about one. I'm with you on that. But so here's the thing. Let me ask you, is accountability a one-way thing or is it a two-way thing? So if I hold myself accountable, okay, so if I got to hold myself accountable to resist from, you know, being lured into lust and sinful desires because I'm looking at you and you look amazing and I ain't thinking about nothing but what the preacher's saying because you in front of me and it might be a distraction. Do you not think that you already know? So listen. Beautiful women know, y'all know y'all beautiful. Let's not play these games.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're beautiful. You look up, you in the mirror every day, you know you attractive. You know when you walk in the room, temperatures change and men are approaching you. So you already know you have that factor. And I'm talking about for the women that know. Again, if you don't know and you just came, that's something different. So I'm with you on that. So I just wanted to address one. Go ahead and go to your two point.
Two? I feel like this is all that I have in my closet and I'm going to wear it because I need to get to the church house. Okay.
Mm.
My soul needs to be saved. If you are distracted because I'm standing in front of you, sir, then you need to move your seat because I need God. I came here for God and this is what I have. So
that's fair.
Ooh.
That's fair. Again, that's fair. I'm just saying, that's fair. I'm going to get out your way. If this is the only thing you have and you came for God and you're trying to get to that moment, I'm with you on that, Char. Definitely. Come on and praise the Lord. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, this is a tough one for me. I'm in the middle on this one. I'm in the middle because I feel better when I have on something I like. And so I might like to have on something that accents a part of me that I'm confident in. Like, I have really nice legs. You know what I'm saying? And I like wearing pants that fit my thighs. I'm gonna be honest with you. And so by the time, you know, you hit them nice pants and mix it with these 38s, it's a problem. And I know that. So I'm cautious of what I do when I'm going to church, but I'll be real with you. If I get two abs this summer, I already told Focus, my wardrobe's going to change. Not because I want to, you know, cause anybody to stumble, but I know what I want to look like, and I know that I'm feeling better physically, and I know I want a new wardrobe. So by the time I put it all together, it's going to be some more fitted clothing coming out. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. Now, if I'm preaching, of course, no, I'm not going to be up there like that. But I don't know. I might roll up in your service with a little,
okay, you know,
I might have a little bicep out. And trust me, my arms, listen. So I'm conflicted on this one. I think I'm kind of with you, Focus, where you don't want to be up in here, you know, wearing a bodysuit every week. But if I happen to have a nice jumper, though, in the summertime, I might roll through the church with my nice jumper and my little toes done. I might run through there.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. And I might run through. For me, knowing the type of body that I have, being an athlete, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard because I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I come through somebody's church, heads is going to be turning and it might be the pastor's too. Okay? But it's a level of conviction.
Yeah.
And I don't wear too much revealing things. But at the same time, when I see a young person, I'm just like, girl, go ahead, because you might not have that body when you turn 30.
One baby and that's a wrap. So if you... it's a mom talking here. So that's why I'm like, that's why I said this is a hard one for me. I think in church now, church 20 years ago, yes, don't even come up in here like that. But I think there are some churches now that cater to youth differently, that cater to millennials differently. They understand this is just the stuff they wear. This has nothing to do with if they love the Lord or not. Like this is how they do. You know, their pants is low, their shirts are crop top, they low cut. I mean, and some of y'all dudes out here, let me be honest, you need to button your shirt up because your chest ain't all that. So it's like y'all doing a lot, but we get it. So I think it depends on
What you get about that shirt being open? I need to hear this. You trying to let
doing your push-ups every night. We get this. We get that.
Sometimes it's the older men too. Like the older men in the church.
They try
now,
to be.
A lot of people overlook it. But them pants should not be that tight. And I don't want to see everything you got in between your legs when you sit down.
I agree with that. So this is, and we talked about this before. Like there's some things I don't let my husband leave the house wearing because I already know. Where you going? Nowhere.
You put
right.
some spandex on.
It's tough though. Speaking from a millennial perspective, but one of the things you are telling the truth. There is a, it's called midlife crisis. So there are a lot of men who, as they get older, they try to wear the tighter shirts. You know, they'd be up in the church with the fitted shirt on, trying to preach Sunday service. And I'll be honest with you, y'all know I'm not gonna call no names, but we can count a few pastors who are
Call their names.
If you expose it, we expose it. We in our Cat Williams era. So let's go.
Lord, y'all know y'all don't need to be rolling out there. Put the robe on. Put that robe on. Go, please go get your bishop gear together. Don't do this. Don't do it. Because the ladies ain't ready. And it is a distraction when you see a beautiful person.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see them. It's like, what did I come here for? You forgot why you're here.
Glutes. I'm looking at glutes. No, right. You said you went to the gym. Ooh, them glutes look good on you. Lord, the Lord knows.
No, he's blessing you right now. Yes. This is a good one, though. I think nobody's going to hell. Thank you for addressing that, Focus. Ain't nobody going to hell because of what you're dressing and looking like. However, if you are intentionally being a distraction, I think God looks at that differently, where, you know, we are called not to cause our brother or our sister to stumble. So if I know for a fact I've been doing my squats, I can't just be up in here, you know, wearing these my yoga pants every week. I can't do that because you ain't gonna be able to handle it. So I have to know. Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all not gonna handle it.
Y'all able to handle it. Yeah. So I'm trying to help you. I don't want you to miss God because you focus on me, you know, and we do have to have that heart where it's like, you know, okay, I know I can wear that, but I'm choosing not to wear that until, you know, tomorrow, you know, when I'm not here.
Okay, so I'm speaking especially for the small churches, because this, I do see this.
Uh-oh.
Okay. They will condemn the young people, right? And mm-hmm. which will have us like, look, well, if this is what I have and it's not good enough, then I'm going to leave the church and I'm not going to come, because every time I step in the house of God, I feel judged. I feel the eyes piercing at me. And I have a scripture right
here. Come on, put some popping on that thing.
James 2:2-4, highlight, it says, if you show special attention to a man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but you say to the poor man, you stand here or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and became judges with evil thoughts? And a lot of young people that might, you know, if they don't know the word, but they literally feel this verse. Mm-hmm. They feel like the poor man, like I'm not good enough. I got to sit in the back so I'm not a distraction for the man that can't hold his eyes up to the pastor. Like, that's not my fault.
It ain't your fault, but everybody in the church is not solid in the faith. And I think you got to understand that. This is something I think younger people miss, is just because you go to church don't mean everybody in here is saved. Like, they're coming in at different times in their life, at different times in their spiritual walk. And if I'm a person I've been addicted to porn, you know, then, and you walk in and you look like I can see every, like my mind, I done lost it. You know, I done forgot why I came here, because I'm like, I see all of your body parts. Right. So it's like, church is a place where we are to be focused on the Lord and we should be honoring God. And here's the deal. It's not about what you wear, but if God hasn't revealed to you that you need to upgrade your look as you're coming here each and every week, maybe, you know, less fitted this, less fitted that, you can still be fly and look really nice. You know, there's nothing better than a fine dressed man at church. I think that is the sexiest thing on the planet Earth. Like, a man of God that is fly, that you got the, I mean, as folks say, what do you say, sugar sharp? Like, when you put it together, that's that, women we love that. Matter of fact, some women come to church just to see that. Let's be honest. Like, the fine looking man who got the nice, because we could name drop right now, we'd be like, ooh, child, you know what I'm saying? Ooh, child, he need to stop. Yes. But it's like, if you know that you're distracting people, then that's the problem. It's like, you know, no, we're not, you know, John is saying, don't, you know, we're not to judge, you know, we don't judge according to the appearance, but to the righteousness. And so there will be a time when the Holy Ghost will say, all right, son or daughter, you've been here 6 months. You know, maybe it's time we switch it up a little bit. You should become new, because you're new in me. So you should be a whole new person. So all those things you think you got to show off your thighs. You think you got to show off your biceps. You think you got to show off your behind. You think you got to show off your abs. You don't. Because you're loved the way you are here. So you don't have to, you know, be revealing and show everybody that. Because those things don't make you beautiful, and those things don't save you, and those things don't make you righteous. That's just the beauty of God and muscle. And, you know, like when you're working out and it starts to pop out, that's just God. That's all God. You didn't even pick them genetics. This is the crazy part. I'll never forget. I met my husband, and, you know, he got the body of like a 20-something year old. And I told him one day, I said, bro, your parents gave you that. You didn't even work for that. Yeah, but you need to call your daddy. You call your mama and be like, y'all put that together though. Thank you very much.
Listen, you're telling the truth, Dice, because when you said that, I think who was it? Juvenile, you get it from your mama.
Your mama.
I thought. Yeah, listen. Yeah, yeah. Don't act like.
Like you did that by yourself.
Mama was sharp back in the day. Don't act
yeah,
like.
Yeah, mama. Yeah, you. Yeah. Come
it's
on
a
now.
You here? It's a reason.
It's a reason.
Here.
It's a reason.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You ain't do that by yourself.
One thing I want to add. Great conversation. Thank you for bringing this up, Char. I think a lot of it, and I talked a little bit off air with you, Char, when you talk about, you know, being dressed a certain way. I know, at least from a lot of the men, when you talk about from a man's perspective, I know a lot of men, church elders, as well as pastors, to your point, Dice, you brought up, you know, we're struggling in areas when you talk about porn, also too as well, infidelity, when you talk about, let's be very clear. Sex in the church is one of those taboo things, but we know everybody doing it. We know there's church leaders and church members that are sleeping around. We know there's all type of things going on. So a lot of it, especially when you talk about women should be clothed a certain way, is because it was being distracting to the pastors. And they couldn't even get their sermon out because, all these triggers are being triggered. And you brought up a good point, Char. I want you to bring that up now. You talked about it off air when I told you about this, and I was saying, you know, pastors, you know, struggle in this area. That's where a lot of the churches came up with the whole saying of, you know, women have to be covered. They can't be on the front row with tight outfits on. Yeah. What was your response? I want the people to hear your response.
Then if you are having a hard time preaching, then you need to go sit down. Because if you are my leader, you're already high enough. You've answered the call in your life. You shouldn't be distracted by these things. You should be in your prayer closet on your knees. Like me as a baby in Christ coming, that shouldn't even, I know you human, but that shouldn't even throw you off your walk.
But if you're a baby and you dress like a hooker, I'm just saying, let's be honest. If I'm in the pulpit, and here you come walking down the middle aisle, like I'm knee deep in my sermon, you know, but you come walking in like you just came from the strip club. I might not be lusting after you, but you are a distraction. So yes, please just.
I don't know.
What I'm saying is men are visual, period. Right. And there's not a man that would not come on the show and say, I am 100% visual as a man. 100. Like, there is not going to be one woman. I'm not checking them, but I see them. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is, and I can only speak, you know, on it like this. It's like, and I got three brothers and a husband, and they've all told me the same thing. Women know. And I don't want to just beat up women on this. Men, y'all be knowing too. Y'all know too.
No, men know too.
Y'all be knowing men too. Know too. Women, we know how to draw attention. Like that's why we don't leave the house on time. If you ask a girl to go out, she's like, I'll be ready in 30 minutes. She ain't gonna be ready for an hour because we're in the mirror making show. Every angle. Listen, if he lay his eyes on me, I posted a picture one day. My husband, he was biting his lip behind me in the mirror one day. I said, if your husband don't do this, you ain't got on the right outfit. Like, we know this is what we do. So right. All I'm saying, but we have to learn when we come to the place where people get healed, delivered, and set free. That's why some people are coming, is to be healed, delivered, and set free. And there's no limit. It don't, like, God is not working on the pastor. God is not working on the bishop. God is not. So it's like, you don't know where a person's level, and you don't know what a person went through, because people fall. So I could have been like an addict, you know, as a pastor, female or male, you know what I'm saying? I might've just had a tough week, or I might've just had a relapse. You know, just because I have a word and I'm preaching on Sunday, it doesn't mean I'm superhuman. I'm human. So I'm just saying, like, we do put a lot of pressure on the men and women of God. But I'll be honest with you, there is nobody who has not fallen and come short of the glory of God. And at any given moment, somebody could fall. Nobody, this thing, you could be a Christian, but don't mean you're going to have a perfect life, you know, when it comes to your walk. So there has to be a level of grace too. But I just wanted to share that, like, a distraction is a distraction. And when you're new in the church, you don't know that. So you just kind of come in, and we do accept you as you are. But there should be a change after a while, though.
Absolutely. Listen, stay right there, Char. Okay. I'm coming right next to you. We got to go to a quick break. Y'all already see what this is. The unsaid truth. Yeah, listen, if y'all ain't woke, y'all going to be woke in a minute. We're going to a break. We're coming right back with more. Keep it locked. You're tuning to The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
I'm Justin Adams, and this is your The Fix Faith and Sports Report. Hey, have you ever spoken to someone who seemed to have all the best play ideas but never knew the playbook? It's like someone who has all the best ideas in the world but never follows their own advice. In his book, The Maxwell Leadership Bible, New York Times bestselling author and speaker John Maxwell stated, "No matter who you are or what you do, you are a leader, a person of influence. And to truly be an effective leader, you must first be able to lead yourself." But what does it look like to lead ourselves daily to be an effective leader on and off the playing field? One example is found in the life of Ezra. At a young age, Ezra studied and became a scholar and a priest, a man respected by political leaders of his day. He will help bring the Israelites back to their land after 70 years of captivity. That's a long, long time. So what was the secret to Ezra's effectiveness? Well, that comes from Ezra 7:10, which gives us the answer. It says this, "For Ezra has set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel." Again, "For Ezra has set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel." By following Ezra's example, we must decide to fully devote ourselves to the daily study of God's Word. Next, we must make a daily practice of applying what we have read in front of others. Finally, we must teach to others what we have read and practice for ourselves. To put it simply, we must learn it, live it, and teach it. Look, let's import the truth before we export the truth. Take some time to master God's playbook so you can be able to shine in the game of life. I'm Justin Adams, and this is Be Your Defix Faith in Sports Report. Now back to DJ Focus and Dice Gamble as the fix is it.
I'm Dice Gamble from The Fix, and this is your news in 90. Volunteerism is on the rise in 2024, and Volunteer World is leading the charge. Ever thought about volunteering in Costa Rica, Africa, Indonesia, Thailand, Ecuador, or anywhere else that's beautiful? Yeah, volunteer to take care of marine life. Volunteer to teach English abroad. Volunteer to help with child care. You can also volunteer to help with animal welfare or wildlife. The world is full of so many opportunities. Discover your place at volunteerworld.com today. Make an impact. Ever wanted to be a real-life superhero? Well, maybe CPR classes are just the thing for you. You can take in-person CPR classes or online CPR classes with the Red Cross. And if you've already been through a Red Cross CPR training, you can actually renew your certification online. Become one of the 4.6 million people that are trained in Red Cross life-saving programs each year. One day you may use your certification to save someone's life. Go to redcross.org today to pick out a class. And rising very quickly in 2024 are guided meditation apps. Apps to help you stay calm and keep it friendly. Some of the top apps are the Calm app, the Tara Brach app, Headspace app, and Honest Guys app. Whether it's upbeat music, short meditations, a calming guided voice, or just pictures over wave sounds, guided meditations help you to relax, to think clearly, and to focus in. For more information, go to verywellmind.com today. I'm Dice Gamble, and this has been your News in 90.
Welcome back. Welcome back. DJ Focus, Dice Gamble, Char Love, The Unsaid Truth. We're just talking about it today, Char Love, and brought this hot topic. And we're talking about the dress code in the church. Is you going to hell for what you're wearing? That's all Char Love want to know. Well, come on, Char. Talk to the people.
That's all I want to know. I feel like it needs to be clear across the whole entire board, from the pulpit to the parking lot.
Regulate.
Okay? We holding everybody accountable.
On dress code?
On dress code. The motherboard. The missionary, the deacon, the mother's on the dress.
Let me find out a mother is coming through enticing somebody.
She better not be. Nana,
don't do that, Nana. Nana,
no,
Big Mama.
Because you
Big Mama,
know,
not Big Mama.
You know they be having their bra strap shown. Like, look, ma'am,
who got a bra strap?
Put that shirt up.
No, they don't. Which
yes,
mother?
They do. They be having the bra strap. Like, ma'am,
the mother better. If I run across any damn mother in a church with a bra strap showing, I'm going to put a dress code on it.
Like, look, sitting here like, the clothes is too big or too small.
Talking about, baby, you want some pie? You want some sweets? You want some pizza?
Okay.
No.
Over there with the candy. With the cinnamon disc, with the bra showing. Don't you do that. The butterscotch.
Because it's been a couple times I had to help, you know, put their shirt up.
Put the shirt up?
You got to be modest.
I didn't even think you could show neck on the mother's board. Can you?
They do.
What is that?
My thing, if you have a problem with the millennials, the clothes is too tight. My thing is you got the mothers with the clothes too big that's not fitting right. So it's like we all need to have accountability across the board. And the preachers need to preach this. Right. 1 Samuel 16 and 7. It says, do not consider this appearance his height, for I rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things, the outward appearance. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. They need to go ahead and preach that so the young millennials know, look, it's not God that's looking at your appearance. He's looking at your heart. It's us in the church that's fallen short, that has, you know, some things a little wrong with us, that's looking at your appearance.
Good. Stay right there. So let me ask you this, Char. Char, love. If a pastor actually preached that sermon from the heart and stated the facts from a biblical perspective, would millennials be open enough to say, I get it. And I, you know what? Now that I know, when I come up in here next Sunday, No, I won't have on the mini skirt. You know, I would drop it down a little bit right above the knee, you know, because I didn't know that if y'all can't handle the mini skirt. You know what I'm saying? Like, would millennials actually be open to hear that type of truth? You know what I mean? Because y'all be popping off. Every time somebody say something, y'all got something smart to say back. Like, and then you always a victim and you always try to hold somebody else accountable and not yourself. So if somebody is honest with the younger millennial person, and a whole church of them, like 20 of them in there, do you think they would be receptive and say, all right, guys, next week we're going to do something different?
I have faith in my millennial people.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes, because we want to know whatever you're saying. We need to back it up with facts.
So if somebody tell you the truth, y'all not going to be hating.
No. You got to back what you're saying up with the word. So if the pastor comes up and says, this is what the word says, we'll take it into consideration. Now, you might have some knuckleheads that might be like, I'm still going to wear what I'm aware.
I feel that.
But those that are truly looking to seek God, it's gonna prick their heart a little different.
I like that. No, I'm just curious. Because I was like, you know what? That is a conversation, I think, for every pastor across the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, every church, like, hey, you know, you guys are talking about how a person actually shows up at church. Because I know there are people who do correct people at these churches all around the world when they come in there wearing different things. I even know a church that'll give you a jacket, you know, and definitely the mother's board stay lit with all their blankets. Like, they're not, it's just some things that's not going to happen up in the church. And so I know, yeah, that's a vibe. But I'm just saying, if they really were like, you know, maybe at a newcomers class or whatever, just said, hey, you know, there are people up in here that are struggling with things. So please be aware of that when you're picking your clothes.
Need y'all to be honest and like let us know. And pastors, if they don't come with church clothes, you know, because they didn't get the, you know, basic Bible 101 about how to dress with the hats and all that, you have to be okay with us wearing jeans. We're not going to go to hell if we wear jeans. We're not going to go to hell if we wear a hoodie, because God is not looking at that.
I love that.
If to reach your young people, you have to become like that. Like Stephen Furtick, Pastor Mike Todd, Darius Daniels, they wear that in the pulpit so their kids feel comfortable. They're like, I can come to God even in my J's. I can still look good.
Well, so that's how I dress at church. That's why I was like, is there a church you can't wear jeans?
Some churches, you know, condemn you for that.
You can't wear jeans? Really?
Yeah. What? Especially with the holes in the kneecap. Oh, you can wear it?
I ain't coming. So, yeah, you already know Focus ain't pulling up. You might as well just say.
I can't pull up either. I can't pull up nowhere if I don't got no jeans and t-shirt on, some J's.
So my solution to the church, especially my small churches, make sure you feed your millennials what God is saying versus what you're saying. Don't put what your view is on us. Back it up with some Bible.
Right. Just because y'all can't afford the J's. Don't be hating on mine.
There we go. I mean, if that's the case, then just say that too.
Just what?
Just say that too. You can't afford it, just say it.
I like the solution. I like the solution of honesty. I really do. And then also like maybe having like 4 or 5 Visa cards preloaded ready. Because you might get a person, like I do have a friend, I remember she told me, she said, man, I came to church, I didn't have any different clothes. And she was straight out the strip club. And so ended up joining the praise team and a whole nine. And shout out to you, Sandy. Listen, she said, but one day the Holy Spirit talked to me and said, you know what, you can kind of switch it up a little bit. You know, you can kind of button the shirt up a little bit. You know, and she said it wasn't anybody in the church that rejected her or told her she couldn't worship or couldn't be there. But she said the Holy Spirit started to let me know, okay, let's change kind of how we've been dressing. So I appreciate her saying that too, sharing that story. Like, yeah, accept me for the way I am. I'm here. I want to change. I want to serve. And then if y'all know I ain't got no money like that, go on, come up off a few little dollars so I can go give me something.
Right. Okay? And churches, pastors, this is for y'all. Correct out of love. That's when it's best received. Don't do it broadcast in front of the church. Correct us. Pull us to the side, coming from a loving place, and we can receive it better.
Don't say that in front of the pulpit.
No. No, especially if it's like one person, or if it's directly to some like one person, pull them to the side. Pull them to the side and really let them know. Because you don't want nobody coming back to your church shooting.
That's good.
No, that is good. And I like that. That's real messy. Shouts out to everybody who's listening right now. And I pray for the pastors or the elders who may be listening to us. Please, it is messy coming from the pulpit. I do agree. No, and I don't feel like that's love, because now you're taking a direct shot at me instead of knowing me.
Now it's personal.
And that's why we talk about building relationships. I think that's another thing we can talk about in the solution. If we start building healthy relationships with some of our members, like you say, some of the men or some of the women who may be coming, and maybe the dress code is not to wear, maybe it's appropriate at this point. Have you went up to him and talked to him, had a conversation with him? It used to be so many brothers that I used to talk. I talk about these European suits all the time because that was a big thing in my church. A lot of brothers walking around with these European suits. And I'd be like, bruh, I get it, but bruh, you know. Like, yeah, wow. you got these European suits.
Why you got to bring the suits in?
You don't have the body for it. Because I'd be ready to tell him, you don't have the body for it.
You ain't got the body,
That's a whole nother conversation with the body. But I had to pull up as a church leader, I had to pull them to the side saying, look, absolutely, we know men are turned on by sight, but I had to tell them, no, women are turned on by sight too as well. And I'm talking about the brothers that are together, like, you know, got everything. And to your point, they know. You was in that mirror. You saw yourself in this thing. You knew your things was popping. You sitting with your legs wide open in this pew. You clearly know what's going on in this little situation you got on. Like, this ain't it. So I know from a perspective of that, for the men, I had to go and talk to them. But it took me building with them. A couple of them, I had to go out and just have some coffee with them, just start sharing scriptures with them, helping them to understand how to break down the text. So again, I think a big problem with this is we're not building relationships. We're judging without building relationships, so we can't even grow together. So I just want to put that in there. But this thing was fire. When I tell you,
it was good. I was thinking about put some clothing racks downstairs in the basement or in a different room too, where you have, because I'll be real with you, there might be some people who come in there that genuinely don't have no clothes. I mean, seriously, I remember there was a time in life I didn't have a lot of clothes to choose from to go to church in. You know what I'm saying? So that is a real vibe. So yeah, like have some, you know, you got a bookstore and you got a coffee shop and all this other stuff up in there. Go ahead and get you a little cloak. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just a women's room, a men's room. And then if somebody roll up and they're like, you know what? I just don't have anything else. You know what? We got a Nordstrom's rack down this, down in the basement. You can go, you might find you something in there. You know, like give people options to, because I really didn't think about that. Like you could point out the problem, but how are you going to help me? You know, if I truly need help with that. So,
the blessing. Thank you for bringing that up. That goes to that Matthew 25 when you talk about being able to have those clothes. And shouts out to that great convo we had already on Unsaid Tooth when you talk about the tithes and the offerings. When you give that money to the storehouse, it should go to ministries like this. So like you say, you have the... I knew she was going. It should go to ministries like this to have the clothing available for somebody that might be in need, and good stuff too as well. Shouts out to everybody that takes some time and go get some stuff that looks decent. I hate when people go to the Goodwill and get stuff that ain't decent.
This could be a whole nother ministry, the fashion ministry. I sure want to be a part of that. Boy, I would hit them stores, hit every last sale rack, and just come back. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. If Dice had a church, she'd have all the young people.
Come on. Yeah. I'd be like, look, y'all know what dropped today. Don't play. Jazz and prayer. Huh? Started next week. Yep.
But don't crease the shoes, though.
Don't you crease them. You better tiptoe in here. Real slow.
If you get a crease in them J's, you might as well just throw them away. They ain't no good no more. Lord help me.
Petty.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, we love y'all. That's the unsaid truth for the day. We got to go to a break. Yeah. We're coming back with more. Keep it locked. You tune into The Fix.
And The Fix is in.
Yeah.
Get money.
Get money.
Get money.
Yo. Welcome to Legal Hustle. Sponsored by the Equity Movement 247, my name is Julius Cartwright, and today I'm here to talk about credit. Credit is critical to everything that you do, think, and whatever you imagine. Credit is impacting jobs, and today we want to talk about what you need to do to keep your credit right so that you stay on the right track. So ladies and gentlemen, let me just kind of kick a little game with you today and kick the ballistics on a few tips and a few topics and a few things that you can utilize in your day-to-day activity. credit card utilization represents 35% of your credit. And if you have a credit card of $1,000 and your balance is between $700 and $1,000, then your credit score will drop. Most credit cards you need to close out at the cycle period with at least 50% balance. Ideally, if you can keep your balances between 10 and 30%, your credit will go up. These are the tips and the trade that you need to realize as it relates to credit. Credit's impacting people's jobs now. They're pulling credit reports. If your credit score is not strong, you won't be able to make it. And credit costs when you don't keep it together. And so what we're encouraging you to do is to look at those things that you can do with your money, with your budget, and keeping your credit aligned with what you need to keep your credit aligned with relative to paying your bills on time or before the dates and keeping credit card balances down. Oftentimes, we can't do anything about our car notes, our installment loans, but the one thing that we can't control is the credit balance. Keep that. That's the quick tip. Thank you for today. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in to The Legal Hustle. I want to right now encourage you to go to Equity Movement 247 and tap into our resources. We have a ton of resources that you can tap into on this subject of credit. You can join the movement. It's free. We reach all ages from baby boomers to Gen X to millennials and to Gen Z. We have something for everybody. Tune in, get the resources, and the fix is in.